This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
This podcast is supported by Trust and Will, an online estate planning service. Visit TrustandWill.com for details.
If you're thinking about what you'll leave behind, Trust and Will can make sure your values live on.
For me, it's beyond money. It's about responsibility. When I pass on, I want my children and grandchildren to be provided for, of course, but I also want their spiritual futures protected. Trust and Will made it easy to make sure that any decision I had to make, in sickness or in death, would reflect the values that I've upheld all my life. And you know what? Trust and Will gave me the peace of mind that my legacy would be more about purpose than possessions.
Protect your legacy and your loved ones today, tomorrow, and beyond with Trust and Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/support. That's trustandwill.com/support to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/support.
The first one we're going to explore, the attribute of Allah, Hayy. And the reason I didn't put an Al is because Hayy is not a name of Allah, but rather an attribute of Allah. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain attributes, actions of this description, Hayy. Hayy is difficult to explain in English, but the closest words that I can find is full of dignity, full of integrity, Hayy. Because the word Hayy, sometimes you'll find, Googling it, it'll probably give you a translation like this. It might say, the most modest, or the shy. But Allah's attribute to say the most modest or the most shy is misleading. Because we as human beings, when we say shy and modest, modest carries the meaning of humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not described with humility. Because humility means that you have weaknesses, you're not perfect. Allah is perfect and has no weaknesses. Instead, Allah has named himself the kind, the compassionate, the forgiver, the most merciful, but not described with humility. To say the shy means that there are things around you which make you hesitant or reluctant, or they give the impression of self-doubt. Or you want to do something, but you're afraid what people are going to say, so you don't do it. Or you don't want to do something, but because of people, you do it. Allah cannot be described as someone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if he wants to do something, he's reluctant and hesitates because of other things. For he is the controller and the all-powerful and the all-knower of everything. Allah is not reluctant. In that way, Allah is not shy in the sense that he doubts. A'udhu billah. These are not attributes of Allah. And that is why when we say Hayy, it means the aspect of dignity and integrity. When you have dignity and integrity, it means that you live your life in secret and in public by strong, moral, correct principles. And you don't allow yourself to do the things that go against dignity and integrity. Is that clear? For example, honesty. Is honesty part of integrity and dignity for a person? To be honest and trustworthy? Yes. When you start to become a dishonest person, an untrustworthy person, then you have attacked your own dignity and what? Your integrity. If there are principles that you know you should be living by, high morals, high ethics, and then you contradict yourself always, then that becomes hypocritical. And that is why when you get to know some people and they appear in front of you in a certain way and behind your back they're in another way, the opposite, you say that they're just performative. They're trying to act like they are of high dignity and religiosity, but behind your back they're nothing like that. We say this is not a person of integrity nor dignity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfect dignity and perfect integrity. And that is the meaning of hayy, attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human, however, can have more meanings to the word hayy. You can be shy because you fear what people might say about you. You can be shy because you might have a little bit of doubt about yourself. Your confidence is not strong enough. And that's normal human nature. It can happen. You develop yourself, you try your best. We all have weaknesses, nobody's perfect. But you cannot attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where did we learn this attribute of Allah? He is hayy, He is full of perfect dignity and perfect integrity. Well, we learn it from the verses of the Qur'an, two verses of the Qur'an, and the authentic hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some weak narrations, but those narrations, they agree with the meaning of the Qur'an and the meaning of the authentic hadiths. Because, you know, sometimes we quote hadiths that are weak in their narration. They can't rely on them completely. But the scholars look at the meanings of it, like the content, the wordings. And if the wordings go hand in hand with the meaning of the Qur'an and the meaning of the other authentic hadiths, there's consistency. We look at that weak hadith as helping us with the meaning, but it doesn't become canon. It doesn't become absolute. It just helps us with the meaning. That is called knowledge in the science of hadith. We're not here to talk about science of hadith, but I just wanted to give you some little knowledge to appreciate why sometimes I would quote a hadith that's weak, and you might ask, well, if it's weak, why should you quote it? Because sometimes a weak hadith is supported by other hadiths and by other verses of the Qur'an. So let us have a look at the verse of the Qur'an where we find the meaning of hayy to Allah. Hayy in Arabic, you know, in the Arabic language, one word can change the way you say it depending on the context. So hayy is an adjective, a description. The noun for hayy is haya. Haya, self-respect, modesty, dignity. It's when, for example, you will not do something that tarnishes your self-respect in front of people. You won't act like a hooligan. You won't act like a wild beast in front of people, an animal. You don't go out into the streets and act like a drunk person or a person on drugs deliberately and make yourself look like you're crazy or insane, because that tarnishes your dignity. This is called haya. The way you cover yourself, you cover certain parts of your body. There are things that have to remain private. You don't show in public. That is human nature. That's called haya. But those areas of your body, you may share in showing them with the people, such as your spouse, and so on. Haya is also your behavior. We don't behave in a lower standard than what a human being, moral human being with ethics standards are. We don't cheat and lie people and steal from people and be hypocritical. These are lowering the standards of haya. So it's called self-respect. Our relationships, the partners that you take as you're in your relationships. We don't have, for example, in Islam has forbidden having intimate relationships between man and woman outside of marriage. Why? Because of haya. It tarnishes the self-respect and the dignity of a person. The sanctity of love, the sanctity of sexuality, the sanctity of your privacy, the sanctity of your dignity, your honor. We have marriage which honors people because it contains all the rights, rules, parameters, boundaries, agreements, promises under Allah when you get married. But outside of marriage, lots of rights can be lost. Not many strings attached. So everything that protects our dignity and honor is called haya. I gave a talk once about it called Haya on YouTube. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, for example, about him having a form of what we would call shyness, but it's not shy. It's more of dignity and integrity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah is not ashamed of speaking out the truth. Therefore, dignity and integrity exists in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He does not have shame from speaking the truth. So when you say someone's shy, he or she may avoid speaking the what? The truth. Does Allah avoid speaking the truth? Never. Therefore, that aspect of shyness doesn't exist in Allah. That's why we don't say shy, we say integrity and dignity. Allah says, that's in Surah Al-Ahzab, by the way, verse 53. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 26, Allah says, behold, Allah is not ashamed, we hear the word ashamed again, to propound or to give the examples or parable of a mosquito or a gnat, or even of something more lowly than that, a smaller insect. Allah mentions an insect in the Quran. He mentions mosquitoes, He mentions little things in the Quran. And Allah says He is not ashamed of giving these types of examples. On hearing these parables, the believers know that it is the truth from their Lord, while those bent on denying the truth, denying the Quran, say, why would Allah talk about...
This podcast is supported by Trust and Will, an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
If you're thinking about what you'll leave behind, Trust and Will can make sure your values live on.
For me, it's beyond money. It's about responsibility. When I pass on, I want my children and grandchildren to be provided for, of course. But I also want their spiritual futures protected. Trust and Will made it easy to make sure that any decision I had to make in sickness or in death would reflect the values that I've upheld all my life. And you know what? Trust and Will gave me the peace of mind that my legacy would be more about purpose than possessions.
Protect your legacy and your loved ones today, tomorrow, and beyond with Trust and Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/support. That's trustandwill.com/support to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/support.
These insignificant parables, these insignificant examples. Why would he mention mosquito and I don't know what? So those who don't want to believe in the Quran deny it. They sit there trying to attack the Quran. without knowledge, thinking that if this book is so good and these are the words of God, why would he even mention a mosquito? What's a mosquito? And we discover the mosquito is not something to be reckoned with. The way it's created, the system that it has is so profound. And the fact that Allah mentioned a mosquito, there is a wisdom. If it's so insignificant, O man who denies the Quran, then why don't you create a mosquito? Why don't you make one? In fact, Allah says in other verses, don't even make one. Try to stop it from entering your home. Stop it from stinging you and sucking your blood out. Stop it from spreading certain viruses or diseases. You remember malaria? It was spread by insects. One of the deadliest things on earth is the mosquito. So Allah, when he mentions parables, even if they seem insignificant to people, Allah says he does not shy away from something like that. Why? Because usually when you're shy and you want to speak something, sometimes you get cold feet when you feel you don't have enough knowledge. Isn't that right? If you're going to give up, has anyone given a public speech or you're called to give a public speech before? And the first time you get up to give a public speech, it's the most fearful thing. Apparently it's more frightening than death for a lot of people to get up and give a public speech. Because what are the thoughts that go through your head? You think, what if I say the wrong thing? What if people judge me? What if I quote something so dumb and stupid? What if I give a reference and then they go up and find that reference doesn't mean what I said? I'm going to look like a dummy. I'm going to look like a loser whatever. So you become shy. But when you're absolutely confident about your knowledge, your resources, your references, your words, you know it and are ready to take on anybody in a debate with it and still be able to overpower them in every way, shape or form, there's no need to shy away from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a mosquito. And he said, even less than that, Allah mentions an atom. And now we know the significance of an atom. Isn't that right? Inside of the atom is your DNA. We now know the significance of your genome. The way you're made up, it's absolutely mind-boggling. The spider, anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not shy from doing that. So, therefore, we do not attribute shyness to Allah, because then it's as if we're saying that he lacks knowledge, he's not confident of what he's saying. Ta'ala Allah, a'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is munazzah, which means that he is perfect, free of any imperfections or defects. My brothers and sisters, attached to that name Hayy, to the attribute Hayy, is another attribute of Allah that you might have heard of, As-Sittir. Has anyone heard that name before? As-Sittir, or some people might say As-Sattar. Anyone put your hand up? Sattar, Sittir. Yes? Okay. So Sittir is an exaggerated form of covering up someone, hiding someone's faults, covering up for someone's mistakes, someone's diminishes, someone's defects, their reputation, you hide and don't let them be exposed. So one of the attributes is As-Sittir, and some of them say As-Sattar. However, brothers and sisters, neither of these are names of Allah. There is no evidence to say that they're names of Allah. However, Allah's attribute to cover the faults of people, covering the dignity, what breaks the dignity of people, covering for people which dishonor them, that is part of Allah's attribute. So number one, Allah is Hayy, which means that he is full of dignity and integrity, and he loves to see dignity and integrity in people. And he is Sittir, which means that he loves to cover the faults and mistakes of people. Not only that, this attribute of Allah now makes us understand and appreciate the instructions he has given us to live by. So since we know this is his attribute, now we know that all the laws that he revealed to us to practice in our lives, all the commandments and the prohibitions that he put to us in our lives to live as Muslims, They emanate from that source, the one perfect in dignity, integrity, and the one who loves to cover you. All his laws are consistent with his names and attributes. What does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us everything that he commanded us to do in the Quran or through his messengers and prophets which we have received are only there to serve in honoring your dignity, your integrity, your self-respect, your honor, your reputation, your esteem. But unfortunately, some people are just ignorant, and some people are arrogant, and some people just don't want to know. But the person who asks and learns and lowers their guard and learns and thinks and analyzes and asks, inshallah, Allah will give them the knowledge because they deserve it. Everything Allah forbid, it is in order to protect us from what? From tarnishing our dignity, honor, self-respect, reputation, and esteem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his dignity and integrity is so strong that he will not do anything that negates his mercy and his compassion to you. If he promised that if you seek his forgiveness, he'll forgive you, he will do it. He will not go and contradict his promise to forgive you. If he says he will give mercy, he will not go against his promise to give mercy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he avoids what contradicts his mercy, he responds to our prayers with care and wisdom, and he puts laws and boundaries which aim to protect our own dignity and honor and safeguard other people's rights and all other creation. He loves dignity and self-respect so much that he forbid us from indecent actions which go against human nature of self-respect and shyness, such as dirty behavior, nudity, promiscuity, vanity, animalistic wild behavior, indecency, or anything which lowers from a person's standards of self-respect and dignity. And I'm just going to do a little disclaimer. Some people, because they're animal lovers, we're all animal lovers, we all love Allah's creation. I said animalistic behavior. I don't mean it in the literal sense. Some animals, they show us compassion. But what I mean is that the way animals live, they live by instinct, with no laws and no real morals except what is already in them. So they don't advance as humans do. They don't analyze and they don't have metacognition where you think how to think and learn how to learn and teach how to teach. You know, obviously an animal doesn't wear clothes and just goes about. Some animals, they just have, you know, they mate in public and they don't care, right? Isn't that correct? So when I say animalistic, I meant the idea of living a life with no parameters, no rules, whatever, no shame. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see dignity in us. My brothers and sisters, there is the hadith which is in Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i and Ahmad. Although it has issues with this narration, the meaning is correct. The companion, Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a man. He once saw a man who was bathing in public. He was a bit to the side, but everybody can see him. So obviously, as he's bathing, sometimes there will be aspects of nudity that people can see. He said, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed the pulpit. And that's the attribute of the Prophet, peace be upon him, by the way, that whenever he saw someone doing something, he wouldn't point his finger to the person and just expose them like that to everybody. He would go up and he would address everybody in public, but he would make sure that that person can hear as well without pointing, because that's how you teach, with care and gentleness, and also being noble in monitoring people's dignity. So he also wanted to cover for the dignity of this man. That's how he used to always do it. So he said in public, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Alhamdulillah, praise to Allah. And then he said, Inna Allah Azza wa Jalla hayyun sittirun yuhibbul haya'a was sitra fa idha ightasala ahadukum falyastatir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dignity and integrity, and He is noble. He loves dignity and self-respect and covering in people. So if one of you wants to bathe, then cover yourselves away from the eyes of the public. Now, this doesn't make sense to us now, living in the 21st century, where people have bathrooms, you close the door, and you think, what are you talking about? We don't go out in public and shower. Well, I mean, of course they do. At the beach, there's showers, people just shower. They don't need to take their clothes off, it's already off. We know how it is. In the pools, in a lot of countries, you go to the men's toilet, excuse me, and there's urinaries. Is that what they're called, urinaries? Urinals. Yeah, we Muslims don't use them, see. Urinals. And all the men are just going at it in front of each other. Yeah, and this is against the dignity and honor of human nature. So Islam told us, Islam teaches us, don't do that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about this man. In those days, people didn't have bathrooms and closed rooms where they closed them. So they didn't have the water pipe systems that we have and the drainage systems and so on, the system that we have. But they used to go out and bathe sometimes in a room and sometimes in some secluded place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go to a private place where nobody could see you.
This podcast is supported by Trust and Will, an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
If you're thinking about what you'll leave behind, Trust and Will can make sure your values live on.
For me, it's beyond money. It's about responsibility. When I pass on, I want my children and grandchildren to be provided for, of course, but I also want their spiritual futures protected. Trust and Will made it easy to make sure that any decision I had to make in sickness or in death would reflect the values that I've upheld all my life. And you know what? Trust and Will gave me the peace of mind that my legacy would be more about purpose than possessions.
Protect your legacy and your loved ones today, tomorrow, and beyond with Trust and Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/support. That's trustandwill.com/support to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/support.
So this, my dear brothers and sisters, means the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hayy, which means He loves to see people having self-respect, modesty, dignity, integrity, and covering themselves. In another hadith, which is narrated in At-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and Ahmad and Al-Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of nobility and full of dignity, that He does not like to return the hands of a person who puts them up, praying to Allah and supplicating to Him, making dua to Allah, and then to return them empty. And Allah Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used the word yastahi or hayyun, which means He is, His dignity and integrity, He does not allow Himself to return the hands of a person who makes dua, who prays to Him, who asks Him, who supplicates to Him, to return his hands or her hands empty. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to every person who calls upon Him while fulfilling all the conditions of it. So you don't call upon many gods, call upon Allah Himself, and in the right way and with true belief and faith, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always respond in one way or another. One way or another. How? He will respond in the best way for you. You have to be patient. Because sometimes Allah won't give you exactly what you ask. Sometimes Allah SWT may not give you exactly what you expected. And you have to also believe that Allah is trustworthy and that He's got your best interest. But we continue to make dua. And I would say majority of our du'as get responded to as we ask. And some of them are left to be responded to in different ways. But here's the thing, not one du'a goes without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you something or doing something about it. And this is, of course, in the Qur'an, it says this, and in the authentic hadiths. So now that we spoke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute hayy, the full of integrity, the perfectly dignified, the one who covers, subhanallah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see that in us. Remember in my first talk when I talked about Allah's names and attributes, how do you connect to Allah? Who can tell me? What is the foundation of connecting to Allah other than just praying and reading Quran and dua? Knowing who Allah is. How can you connect with someone if you don't know who they are? Can you love someone without spending time with them and knowing about them, and then you fall in love with their attributes and all that? No. So you got to know Allah. You can't see Him, you can't touch Him, but Allah has revealed to us, manifested to us all His attributes and names. He sent to us the Quran, which talks all about Him and tells us so much about Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent us the messengers and prophets from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them all. All of them lived the absolute height of what the true nature of Allah is. My brothers and sisters, having said this, to connect to Allah, one of the ways is for you to practice modesty and self-respect, dignity and integrity in your life. How do you do that? First thing, as a Muslim, you look at the Quran and we look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, instructed us to do and not to do. So look for the commandments and the prohibitions. For example, Allah said, do not spy on one another. Commanding. He said, O you who believe, be honest and be among the honest ones. Be trustworthy and be among the trustworthy. Worship Allah and no other deity. Call upon Allah and do not call upon other than Him. Stand up in justice and be with the just. Be fair and equitable. Stand in kindness and compassion. But also stand in firmness against injustice. All of these commandments from Allah. Fast the month of Ramadan. In it, there is dignity and honor for you. Pay your zakah, which means give the alms and charity for the wealth that He provided you. In it, there is dignity and honor for you. Be good to your spouses with goodness and care and compassion and mercy. Be good to your children, to your parents, be dutiful. To your children, to your relatives, to your neighbors, to the people you live amongst. All these are commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you live by them more, your dignity rises and you get closer to Allah. Allah forbid us from adultery and fornication. So He says, do not approach or do not come close to fornication and adultery. The more you get closer to it, the further you go away from Allah. You actually feel it inside of you. You feel it in your system changing. So repent to Allah. This is how you remedy it. Allah says, avoid suspicion that is unreasonable. Avoid spying on one another. Avoid backbiting one another. Avoid slandering each other. Avoid attacking one another unjustly. All these, brothers and sisters, are prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed. Do not murder. Do not engage in usury. Do not engage in theft. Do not engage in murder and harming others or creatures unjustly. Do not corrupt. All these, my brothers and sisters, is part of our dignity. Allah said, cover yourselves. Cover yourselves in a certain way with your clothing and your behavior. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Adam and Eve in paradise, that when they ate from the tree that was forbidden, it became a sin because Allah told them not to do it and then they did it, but it was a weakness in Adam and Eve. Allah tells us that one of the things that happened to them was that their clothing came off, the light that was covering their private area came off, and they were in public, even though there was no other human in paradise, they still felt the natural human nature of being shy. They got embarrassed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks to us about how important human nature is to cover yourselves. Our interaction between men and women, opposite genders. You know, in Islam, it's put parameters about a mahram. Who's a mahram? Who is a man whom a Muslim woman is permitted to be alone with in private? Who she can touch and he touch her within parameters, of course. They are, for example, her father, her uncle, her brother, her nephew, her son, her grandfather, her grandchildren. These are all called mahrams. But of course, there are parameters for them too. So there is dignity between them as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created boundaries between husband and wife. Not everything is permissible in intimacy between them. Some forms of intimacy when they're together in the bedroom, the husband and wife have boundaries. Those boundaries which Islam placed is in order to protect the dignity of both the woman and the man. There are certain things you can't do. There are things that you would harm each other with, and Allah has forbidden them. Yani, we're talking in the mosque, and I can see a lot of young people here, so we don't want to go into too much detail about it. But I think you can understand that there are parameters and boundaries in Islam, even between the closest of people in intimacy, like the husband and wife. So brothers and sisters, there are all these boundaries and these rules in order to protect what? The dignity, the integrity, the shame, and the, when I say shame, I mean self-respect of a person, and to keep them honored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid us from intoxicants. Why? Because what does it do? It makes us become drunk, intoxicated, and how do we act after that? What do we do after that? We do everything that goes against dignity and integrity. We may kill, we may harm, we may hurt ourselves. One of the highest five causes of domestic violence in men, or as a result from men, one of the five causes for it is alcohol and intoxicants. Gambling strips you of your dignity. Adultery and fornication strips you of your dignity. Theft, betrayal, all of that strips you of your dignity. So when one can understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself has forbidden upon Himself oppression, injustice. He has forbidden upon Himself from contradicting His mercy and His compassion, His forgiveness and His justice. Then He also forbid it upon us. So brothers and sisters, now we understand the aspect of haya, which means self-respect, integrity and dignity, and how it is practiced. Now, when we are alone in private and we realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to cover up for us and doesn't like to expose us, and He is so generous and noble to us in this way, He sees us and we know it. Yet many of us, the shaitan gets the better of us, and at times in private and secret when no one is seeing, we commit certain acts, sinful acts, and we oppress ourselves with these wrongful acts. But Allah covers us. Allah covers us and continues to cover us. I want you to think about how many sins you've done in private and for how long. And how long did Allah cover you and didn't expose you? Think about how many wrong things you've done in your life And how many times and how long was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compassionate to you and kept you covered and didn't expose you? Allah reminds us. He says, I know your ins and outs, and yet, yastur, He covers you. Isn't Allah worthy of our repentance?
This podcast is supported by Trust and Will, an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
If you're thinking about what you'll leave behind, Trust and Will can make sure your values live on.
For me, it's beyond money. It's about responsibility. When I pass on, I want my children and grandchildren to be provided for, of course, but I also want their spiritual futures protected. Trust and Will made it easy to make sure that any decision I had to make in sickness or in death would reflect the values that I've upheld all my life. And you know what? Trust and Will gave me the peace of mind that my legacy would be more about purpose than possessions.
Protect your legacy and your loved ones today, tomorrow, and beyond with Trust and Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/support. That's trustandwill.com/support to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/support.
And to think of him well. But many people are ungrateful. They don't think like that. My brothers and sisters, Allah covers us and we disobey him night and day. Yet he forgives and pardons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He teaches us to guard ourselves and to also guard the mistakes and sins of other people, so long as the sins and mistakes of other people are not harming other people. So if somebody's in danger, you can't say, I'm going to hide their sin. You've got to try and help to protect the other person. But if nobody's in danger, for example, at your workplace, you see this religious person, man or woman, MashaAllah, people look up to them. And then one day, you find them hiding behind the building and they're smoking cigarettes, for example, or vaping, which is not a sensible thing, not a decent thing for somebody of integrity and professionalism, for example, or somebody of closeness to God and as a role model, because cigarettes and vaping and all that is harm. But you don't expose them. You cover up for them. You don't even say anything. You see someone doing something that's wrong to themselves, so long as they're not harming themselves, dangerous, you advise them and you cover up for them. You sit with somebody and they tell you a secret, you do not go and tell other people about that secret. It is forbidden to expose people's secrets. If you're not sure, don't even say it unless you seek their permission. Unless they're in danger, of course. Then you tell specific people who can help. So of course, Islam also uses a lot of common sense. But in general, where there is no need to expose someone, we try to cover for them as much as we can, try to use every other mean to advise them and guide them, so long as nobody's in real danger. Do you understand that part? And for this reason, our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, he says that all the children of Adam are in a form of safety and covering, so in their private sins, so long as they do not go out and expose themselves by their own hands. So when we go out and we start to expose ourselves, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, then he or she would have removed the covering which Allah initially had upon them. Now, if you want to tell your close friend that you have a problem, that's okay. Or you have a close friend, you say, look, I used to do this. That's a different story, but maybe you want advice from them, maybe you want to get it off your chest. But in general, a person should not go around and exposing themselves. Why? Because your reputation is important. Of course, there are situations where a person needs to talk about some hidden sins of theirs if it's going to involve another person in their life. For example, if you're getting married and there are certain sins in your life that have become a problem for you that you know will affect your marriage or the other person, well, then it's important either to work on yourself before going ahead with the marriage, or you've got to have an open, honest communication with that person in the best way that you can. So, again, Islam also tells us to use common sense. But in general, exposing sins that we have means that sometimes psychologically you start to normalize it for yourself. And your feeling of remorse or self-respect kind of becomes lower. You kind of feel that you can justify it or normalize it. We may give other people ideas because, you know, if I'm doing something wrong and then you come and tell me you're doing the same thing and I find that another person doing the same thing and then I still keep hearing about it and people post about it, somehow in my psychology I'll feel that I'm not the only one, at least. And that's kind of like therapy for me, but in the wrong place. It makes me think, well, I'm not the only one who lies, then it's good to lie. It's cool. It's sick. You know, sick as in a positive way they take it. Sick, man. You're a liar as well? We're all liars, dude. Bruh. All that. It's a strange society we live in, where really wrong things are normalized, and they take pride in it. Why? Because we're not alone. We're part of a bigger group. Yeah, it's us. You do that too. I do that too. Wallah, I do that too. Shh, don't tell anyone. But let's just do it together. Yani, it's like as if we're proud of it. And somehow I found my buddies. Yahi, you know the Quran, what it says. It says that the best of buddies in this world on the day of judgment will be enemies of each other. You know why? Because on the day of judgment, when everything is revealed and Allah SWT is judging us and telling, and He will question us, every person's going to point their finger at the other person. They're going to blame you. They're going to say, it's my friend, it's my so-and-so. They're the ones that made me do this and they're the ones who made me do that. Even your own devil, you know, the shaitan in the Quran, it says that you're born with a devil that whispers to you. It's called a qareen, a jinn, shaitan, whispers all the bad thoughts. Got no power over you, but they whisper. On day of judgment, when you can't blame your family, can't blame your friends, everybody runs away, then you say, it's my jinn, it's my shaitan. You know what the shaitan does? The shaitan looks at you and he goes, you can actually make a meme out of him. You know, he wears a mask and is just looking away. Who, me? Me? The shaitan will say, me? Just hanging around. You know that meme? I'm just hanging around, man. I've got nothing to do with it. But he's whispering to you. And you know what the shaitan says on the day of judgment? He says, hey, how about we have a deal? You do you, I'll do me. You look after yourself, I'll look after myself. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي. The big devil, Iblis, will say that. He'll make a khutbah. Like Iblis will make a khutbah at the doors of Jahannam. Like everybody's going to Jahannam, they're just worried they're going to burn now, all the really evil people. And then Iblis decides to just get up and say, hey, everyone, while he's chained up, and say, hey, just for the record, I only invited you, man. You responded, so hey, how about we have a deal here? We're going into hellfire together. We're going to attack each other. We're going to eat each other up. But how about each one just, you know, you defend yourself, I'll defend mine. How about I don't blame you, you don't blame me. I just called you, فَاسْتَشَبْتُمْ لِي. You responded. So don't blame me and blame yourselves, okay? That's what the shaitan says. Your own qareen will say, قَالَ رَبِّي مَا, he will say, my Lord, مَا أَطْغَيْتُهُ, I didn't make him or her go astray. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. He was just so far away in his losthood and desires, and he just listened to me. I found it so easy. It was so easy to get him and her. I found it easy. That's all I did. You know, shaitan will feel impressed about himself on the day of judgment. So my brothers and sisters, Islam has not come to destroy your dignity, but to uplift it and to cover for you. And I'll end this first part with the following beautiful hadith, which is in Bukhari. that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to believers without an interpreter between them. And He will call that believer closer to Him. And He will place His covering over him or her so that nobody can see and nobody can hear. And then He will tell you about the secret sins that no one else knew about. And He will make you read them, because nothing goes unwritten. But the difference is that Allah may forgive them, pardon them, or will just let you read them but not mention them, or He will replace them with good deeds after you have seen them. And He will say to you, remember this, remember that, remember this, remember that, until you say, yes, my Lord, until you feel and think that you are going to enter hellfire, no doubt. You think, this is it, I'm doomed. I didn't realize how many wrong things I've done. And then Allah will say to these certain people, سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا, I covered it up for you in the former life. وَالْيَوْمَ أَسْتُرُهَا عَلَيْكَ, and today I will continue to cover it. Go, I have forgiven you. Who does this happen to? This happens to people who used to feel remorse for their sin. And those are the people who maintain their proper worship to Allah. They used to try to increase in good deeds to compensate for their bad deeds. They never took bad deeds as just for granted. They didn't think of Allah as someone unimportant. They gratified the disobedience to Allah, but they had weaknesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks favorably towards those people, and He will say, I forgive you. And you're given your book in your right hand, and that is when you come out of that covering and you call out in front of the people screaming, O people, everyone, get up and read my book. He wants everyone to read his book. You know, when you've got a beautiful mark, beautiful grade, he says, everyone read my book. Nobody's interested, but you're so excited, you want to flex. You flex on the Day of Judgment. إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابي. Oh yes, I believed in this day. I believed in what Allah told me about this day of reckoning. And so I tried my best, and so on and so forth. Allah says, then He will be in beautiful gardens. My brothers and sisters, this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers for you. And one of the ways that you get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover for you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves to see how you cover for others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever covers for their fellow brother or sister, Allah will cover for them in this world and in the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His covering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who have dignity and integrity, self-respect, and make us among those who connect with Him. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.